All right, I'm going to jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll remind you guys, as always, that attorney Stan McDonald, attorney for over 30 years in North Alabama, longtime conservative, and the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way. I'll tell you more about Stan here momentarily. Okay, let me just say, there's been a flurry of news over the past few days about the killing of Charlie Kirk, and it has left an indelible mark on our society. It really has. Since the time of the shooting, I've come to see and hear numerous clips of Charlie speaking and addressing crowds and appearing on podcasts, and there have been any number of people that I respect, and even some that I don't, that have made known how he impacted their lives. But there were two instances that really got me. One was a video I saw early this morning of Charlie on a podcast with liberal commentator Mark Halperin. Mark Halperin, liberal. Now, I will say that while Halperin and I don't agree on much on policy and politics, that he has been known to be one of those reasonably unreasonable people who can agree to disagree. In other words, you can have a dialogue with the guy. In the interview with Charlie, I was first struck by how gracious Charlie was. He didn't seem to care that he was on a podcast with a guy that differed from him, and the clip that I saw took a step further as he was asked by Halperin how he felt about the fact that the cartoon show South Park had recently spoofed him. And Charlie's response in that podcast was priceless. He said he thought it was actually hilarious, and that as a kid watching South Park, he never dreamed he'd be on it. So, listen, y'all, that's a man who's comfortable in his own skin right there. People were saying things about him, even kind of lampooning him or mocking him, and he thought it was hilarious. The other instance that caught my attention was just the other day when, in the wake of his death, an online influencer, a black man named Damani Felder took issue with liberals claiming that Kirk's a racist. And in his post, he said, "I know that Charlie's not a racist, and I'm the proof." He talked about the fact that he was between jobs. He had no money. But he was posting his conservative views as a black man in America on his social media with very few followers. And one day, Charlie Kirk sent him a three-word message, and all it said was, "You are terrific." He said that Kirk reached out to him personally and offered to pay his way to the Black Leadership Summit that Charlie Kirk's TPUSA was putting on. Let that sink in. Charlie Kirk, the one they call racist, was hosting a Black Leadership Summit. Go figure. He's also reaching out to this guy and offering him a scholarship. So he went, and it rocketed him to influential ability that he had never had before, with hundreds of thousands of followers now on social media. You see, here's the bottom line. The left will do all it can to destroy your good name. I've experienced that firsthand. If they can't stop you, they'll smear you, try to destroy the very essence of who you are and not just what you've done. It's true. They do it all the time. I recently read an article about Deion Sanders. Neon Deion, the former great two-sport athlete who now coaches the Colorado Buffaloes football team. One of his star players was a guy named Travis Hunter. This is a couple of years ago. He was on the injury list, but a big game against USC was coming up, and it would have meant a lot to the coach to have all his best players on the field, you can imagine. Well, Hunter had suffered a lacerated liver after a major hit in the Colorado State game. But he was doing better, and Travis Hunter is a true two-way player himself. He had been starting at both receiver and cornerback, so his presence had already been missed. So Travis Hunter allegedly sent a text to Deion Sanders, his coach, and said, "I need to play this week. We need to get everything we can on the field. I'm not taking no for an answer." Okay, bold words, right? Coach could use him, no doubt. But Coach Deion Sanders texted his young man back and said, "No, you ain't ready, and I care about you more than I care about this game." And he went on to say, "You're going to change the game of football one day when you're healthy and ready, and your future's brighter than mine ever was. So relax and get healthy. I love you, son." Now, that's a coach who has his priorities in order. Say what you want about Deion Sanders, but I love that story. Look, he knew the value of the long term versus the short term. He knew what it meant to develop the person. And in doing so, I'd say that Coach Sanders also gained the respect of his players. He gained a good name. We're told in Proverbs that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. A good name. When it comes down to it, that's really all you got. The old saying goes, you can't take it with you, referring to your earthly riches. I mean, you can certainly leave your money and your possessions to your heirs, but the best thing you can leave them is your legacy. You can leave them your good name. But to do that, though, you got to have your priorities in order. You can't have a good name if your priorities are out of whack. Let me tell you another story about a famous athlete who apparently had his priorities all in the right place, and he was known for it. Bobby Jones. Bobby Jones is one of the greatest golfers that ever lived, apparently. He helped design the Augusta National Golf Club. He co-founded the Masters Tournament. He was the most successful amateur to ever compete at the national and international level. During the 1920s, he dominated every amateur competition. He regularly beat some of the most famous professionals of his day. He decided to stay in the amateur ranks because he was an attorney by trade, with degrees from Georgia Tech and Harvard and Emory. He also authored 4 books. He studied French, German, and Latin. He won his first golf tournament at the age of 6. He won the Georgia State Amateur Championship at 14. Over time, he won the U.S. Amateur Open 5 times, the U.S. Open 4 times, and the PGA Championship and the Masters. In 1930, he won the Grand Slam of Golf by winning the U.S. Amateur Open, the U.S. Open, and the British Amateur and British Open all in 1 year. He was eventually inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame, but at 28 years old, he decided to retire from competitive golf. He'd done all that by 28. Just like that, he was done. He felt it was necessary to prioritize his family and his law career, but when World War II broke out, though, Bobby Jones also entered the service and he became an intelligence officer for the Army Air Corps. Senior leadership actually asked him to play exhibition golf in the U.S. as part of the war effort, but Jones insisted on going overseas. And on June 7, 1944, Bobby Jones went ashore on day 2 of the Normandy landings, and he spent time on the front lines interrogating German prisoners because he was fluent in German. He came out of the war with the rank of lieutenant colonel. But there's one story about Bobby Jones that really got me. Because as good as he was of a golfer, a lawyer, a war veteran, a family man, it's also said that he was an even better person. He was known as a man of integrity. And it was never more apparent than during his time at the 1925 U.S. Open. You see, Jones lost the 1925 U.S. Open in a grueling 36-hole playoff after calling a one-stroke penalty on himself over the protests of rules officials. In one of the final holes, he was addressing his ball, which lay slightly in the rough, and he noticed that the ball moved slightly while his iron was grazing the grass. Now, look, I'm not a golfer, but I understand that's an automatic penalty. When he informed the officials, they all told him they hadn't seen the ball move. His caddy hadn't seen the ball move. Even his opponent said he had not seen the ball move. No one in the gallery had seen the ball move. But Jones insisted he saw the ball move, and so he charged himself with a one-stroke penalty. And he lost the 1925 U.S. Open by one stroke. The officials actually tried to argue him out of it. I read that when the tournament officials tried to compliment him on his integrity, he scoffed at them and said, "You might as well praise me for not breaking into banks. There's only one way to play this game." Bobby Jones played by the rules, period. It was his name on the line. His name was on the line. Sports writer Herbert Wind back in the day said, in the opinion of many people, of all the great athletes, Bobby Jones came the closest to being what we call a great man. He had all those accolades, but what he was known for was being a great man. He had a good name. Look, we live in a culture right now that too often celebrates talent over integrity, but that's backwards. Talent's fleeting. You can be the best today, but age and infirmity catches up to everyone eventually. You can be the best looking, the strongest, the smartest, the richest, the most well-known. You can still be a hollow shell if you don't have all your priorities in order. If you don't work to maintain your integrity, if you don't work to have a good name, integrity is the one thing that does not depreciate, but it can be lost. You can spend a lifetime building your good name, and you can lose it all in one fleeting second. Nothing takes longer to build than a good reputation. Nothing can be destroyed as quickly. In 1948, by the way, Bobby Jones was diagnosed with a rare disease called syringomyelia. It involves like a fluid-filled cavity in the spine. It causes crippling pain and eventually paralysis. He became wheelchair-bound. He died in 1971, but he was not prone to complain. When he was asked once about his ability to handle his disease, Jones reverted back to his love of golf, and he said, "Golf's the closest game to the game we call life. You get bad breaks from good shots, you get good breaks from bad shots, but you have to play the ball as it lies." I would say that Bobby Jones did not suddenly become able to make that statement. He had built that good name over the course of his whole life. Coach Deion Sanders, he knew to put his priorities in order, take care of his players. Bobby Jones knew when to walk away from his fame and success to focus on things that were more important. Better to have a good name than great riches, right? And in the aftermath of Charlie Kirk's shooting, I would say that what we're learning more and more is that's exactly what Charlie Kirk did. Better to have a good name and to keep it. Better to have a reputation than a bank account. Better to have integrity with nothing other than, you know, honor, right? It's better overall to have the good name. Charlie Kirk had a very good name. And that's why the left is now intent on destroying not just what he stood for and what he but also what he did, but they're also content to destroy his actual name. And we're not going to let that happen. Not for a second. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.